Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercies. Thank you for the mystical body called the church. Thank you for the eyes of our understanding have been opened. Thank you because we have been helped already. Thank you because you anoint in his presence. Thank you because yokes are broken. Thank you because the yoke of suicide is broken. Thank you because the yoke of depression is broken. Thank you because Jesus has a free flow in this place. Accept our thanks, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. This morning, taking us on a topic I have titled, The Church, Our Identity and Purpose. Turn with me quickly to Genesis chapter 28, from verse 10 to 22. Genesis 28, 10 to 22. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. In verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending. 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac, land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and we help thee, and we keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And we bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob, in verse 16, awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 17 says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I want you to jump from there and let's go. Verse 22, because of time. And this stone which I have set, Jacob was speaking, a pillar shall be called God's house. All that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee tenth unto thee. The Lord bless the word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. It's important that at some point we begin to ask ourselves some pertinent questions. What I'm trying to do is to lay some foundational background to the journey we'll be embarking on in the next 5 years. And while I was really meditating on the way the church should go, I discovered that the Holy Ghost will have me bring to your attention the concept of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, conscience is the proof of life. consciousness, I repeat, is the proof of life. If you, like Jacob, dwell in a certain place, but do not understand the interaction in that place won't profit you. And so the Lord will have us begin to understand the concept of what we do as believers. So what I'm trying to do this morning, and I don't know how long it will last, is to introduce you to the concept of where you are seated. If we are not aware of who we are as a church, we may mistake this whole activity for another religion. If we just exist as a church and do not understand what we do as Christians and understand why you are called a church, you will take it for granted. I want to let you know that the next 5 years will unfold a lot of things in Nuazak. But for us to be in the same page, it's important I labor to bring you up to speed. Because if I don't bring you up to speed, you will think it's one of those things we just do as we like. You must have observed that Jacob was heading towards Haran. And he got to a certain place and picked up a normal stone in that place. And he decided to just pass the night, close his eyes, and just have a good sleep. Or the consciousness of the location where he was, he didn't know. He assumed that it's one of those places. Just like many of you walk into this place or do certain activities and just believe we are just doing activities, not knowing the import of what you do. I was told that at some point, some people were not afraid. They even attempted to even rob inside of this place. And I was asking myself, is it possible to rob, even if you are so mad, to go into the house of a native doctor to rob? But they could attempt it because either we don't yet understand what we do, or they themselves need to be taught a little lesson. Listen. If what we just do here is another social gathering, count me out. I already belong to so much things that I don't need another gathering to just be part of things to validate me. No, sir. The church is not just another body just existing for its sake. No, sir. There is something special about the church. That is the aim of this lesson. And what are the objectives of this lesson? Number one, to understand the original meaning of the word church. Two, to know the identity of the church. Three, to understand the purpose of the church. Why are we set up? Because you'll be surprised. Many people just come here, they discover they were born inside of this setting and they just kept on living life, and no one has ever called their attention to the environment. So I quickly jump into it. What is the meaning of the church? What is the meaning of the church? The word church is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia, which is defined as an assembly or called out ones. The root meaning of the church is not that of a building, but of a people. So in Romans chapter 16, verse 5a, you hear Paul says, greet the church in so person's house. Acts 14, 27 also emphasize that the church is referring to a people. The church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. Please help me put it on the screen. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. And had put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the body of Christ is made up of all believers in Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 until Christ's return. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important you understand that the church has her foundation in Christ. Christ is the head of the church as a husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 22 to 32. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to, just read down a little to get the glimpse of what is happening here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Look at it. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. I want you to quickly picture this. When you think about the church, I want you to see the church as someone's wife. The church is not just a body that exists for nothing. The church is someone's wife. It's actually the wife of Christ. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You will notice that every time they talk about a husband, they refer to him as Christ. That he, in verse 26, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want to get a young man and a young lady. Just come out. I want to show you something. Anybody? From the choir, anybody, a young lady, a young man, just come forward. Let's assume that this is a wife and this is a husband. His name is Mr. J Drums. And she is Mrs. What? J Drums. I'm trying to show you how the relationship between Christ and the church, and why the church is a very dangerous organization. The moment both of them got married, certain things happened to Mrs. J Drums. The moment marriage happened, what you now see from outside is Mr. J Drums. If this was a correct marriage, we expect that Mrs. J Drums and all her visions, all her plans are subsumed in the vision of this man. So the moment they got married, we assume that if anyone is threatening this lady, that one we have to contend with him. The moment they got married, it's assumed that she no longer has to worry about rent. Assume he has all the monies and he understands what marriage means. This woman should no longer worry about what to eat. Are you seeing why the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd and do what I shall not want? Listen, the moment she married this man, she has assumed, she has changed location. What happens normally is that she moves from her house and go into his house. Are you following what I'm saying? If this man owns any property, the moment she agreed to marry him, what happened? That property becomes hers. Two of us. Everything he has access to, this lady has access to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. If there are angels keeping Christ where he is, it means this lady doesn't have to worry about her protection. Why? Because I am married to a man who is responsible. So the relationship between Christ and the church is such that apart from being a husband and a wife, we also have a relationship of headship. Which means that in the body, you can go and sit, please. No, only you stand. You can stand. In the body, Jesus Christ is seen as the head of the body. The church is seen as the body of Christ. Are you seeing it? This is Christ. The church is from here down. This is the body of Christ. So, Christ is referred to as the head of the church. Have you observed that the head has the brains? Have you observed that the head has the eyes? So, if this body will get to any place, the eyes must see. Have you observed that the ears is in the body or it's in the head? Which means, as a church, we don't do what we like. Sir, what determined what he wore today was his head. Why? Because the brain, the thinking faculty is on the head. The mouth is where? On the head. Which means that if you want to curse this one, the mouth should answer you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when someone begins to enchant you at night, for instance, it is expected that if you are properly aligned with the head, when they invoke you to appear before a mirror, who should appear? The head. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying when they invoke you, listen, if we ask this man, we go to the bank to check his account and you want to look at his mandate. Have you noticed that it's not the chest that they put on the mandate of the bank accounts? What do they put? The head. I am saying that the church, if we are truly aligned, our identity should be Christ. If you are truly aligned, when men look at you, what they should see is who? Christ. So our pastor was talking about alignment on Wednesday. Look up. Alignment simply means that the neck agrees to join the head to the body. Simple. Can you imagine the brain telling this body what you are going to wear today is a black shoe, and the leg says, no, I must wear brown? That means the person is what? Is becoming psycho. Anytime the church ceases to align with Christ, we have lost it. The reason why the church doesn't worry about witches and wizards is because the church is expected to be aligned with Christ. The moment we are aligned with our head, we have a covering. The moment we are aligned with our head, there are many things we don't worry about. The moment we are aligned with the head, certain issues are resolved just by this understanding. But unfortunately, many of us decide that we don't want to walk with Christ. We want to do our own thing. If you know anything about marriage, you can sit down. Thank you very much. If you know anything about marriage, for the wife to enjoy the benefit of being married to a man, she must align to his core values. If the wife is going to enjoy the benefit of marriage, if she wants to enjoy anything that has to do with what the man has, she has to submit under him, just as the church submits under Christ. Glory be to God. In Genesis chapter 28, from verse 10 to 17, we notice something. Now, when Jacob saw that vision, he noticed that angels were ascending and doing what? Descending. And who was standing at the top? Christ. God was showing Jacob the mystical body. What I'm trying to tell you is that the moment we gather here, certain people are here that you can't see. I'm saying the moment we gathered as a church, we are not complete just physically, what you are saying. No, we are more than this. The days when people kidnap a child of God who is well connected to a church are over. If you understand what I'm saying, you will know that it is impossible to carry an ark that is a part of a church if it's well aligned. There are things you don't worry about. Why? Because your head watches over your life. Once you are aligned with Christ, your life, the Bible says, is hid with him. It says, for we are one body, one flesh, and one bones. So there are implications for which we will discuss further. What are the implications for the identity of a church? Just as every woman carries the identity of her husband, the church is supposed to carry the identity of Christ. The church is supposed to mirror Christ on earth. So if your life doesn't match the Christ's, you may not be a part of the church. I repeat, I've explained to you that the church is the body of Christ, which means our lives must mirror the Christ. At every point where your life no longer is compatible with the Christ, you may need to ask yourself again, are you part of the church? Noah's Ark. You are not part of the church because your name is in the church register. That's what I'm saying. You are not part of the church because you attend the RCCG. No, sir. You are part of the church as far as your life is in alignment with the purpose of the Master, which is Christ. And so every time we gather, and that gathering is in the name of Christ, then we are in church. So if after church on Sunday, you go out to begin to behave like anything apart from the commandments of the Christ, you have dissociated yourself from this body. You are not just a member of a church because your name is written. You are a member of the church as far as the nutrients from the brain, from the head, can flow to you. Oh, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. He says, I am the vine. And what? Ye are the branches. As far as we look at this mystical body, and we can still see Christ as the head, and the body is subject to Christ, then you are part of this body. But at every time the church decides they want to be independent of Christ, we have lost it. I made mention before that your passport carries your head only. The eyes, the ears, nose, mouth, brain are all in the head. What this means is that Christ is supposed to be the central navigation point of the church. Church, look up. Every purposes, every activity, everything we do as a body must mirror Christ. At any point where men begin to become creative, just like my wife suddenly wants to become creative and do the things she wants to do, that marriage no longer holds. Listen. In a marriage contract, there is some things that are basic rules. They call them ground rules. The moment you get married as a young lady, you will notice that most likely you won't wear the clothes your husband don't approve of. Oh, for the single ladies, you can fly up, you can fly down, anyhow you want to do it, do it. But the moment you are espoused to a man to be married, if she's a normal girl, if she's normal, most likely she will want to seek the consent of her husband to wear anything. There are places she will not go because her husband doesn't approve of it. There are some food your wife will cook and you say you don't want to eat. Most likely that food will not be cooked again. You know why? She is now under authority. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So I said Christ is supposed to be the central navigation point of the church, which is his body. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. It says, and he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, somebody say all things, he might have the preeminence. So the question for you this morning is, does Christ have the preeminence in your life? Young people, don't be fooled that church is about jumping up and praying, jumping down and doing all kinds of activity. In the church of today, you can easily be confused to think that is all there is to church. It's expected that if you are a part of a church, Christ must have the preeminence in all things. Christ will order how you talk. Christ will order how you move. Christ will even choose your friends. Christ at times will even choose the course you'll be studying in university.
Look up. I said even Christ will choose the walk. There are places you can't walk because Christ has held you. Christ will choose whom you will marry. Christ will choose your friends, whom you associate with. Christ will choose how you talk to people. So, Christ will regulate even how you handle your emotions. You know, this is my normal way. I get angry easily. No. Christ, because he is now factored into your life, Christ will determine all that. So, in other words, our identity as a church is Christ. So I quickly go into the implications. What are the implications of this identity? Remember, our identity as a church is Christ. We've seen it. What are the implications of this identity? Number one, the church must accept the government of Christ. That speaks to alignment. Just like the wife must accept the government of her husband. When I do counseling, I ask a young lady, you want to marry this man? He says, yes. Do you think you can respect this guy as your husband? As your husband? If you look at him, man, you can't respect him as your husband. Leave him. He's not your husband. Because the number one thing that happens in this mystical union is that you are accepting to come under the government of Christ. And so you will see things like Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 to 30. Take my yoke. My yoke is what? Easy. Take my burden. My burden is light. Many people are in church, but they don't want the yoke of Christ. That thing is religion. I owe it to you to tell you the truth. If you are in Christ, what you are saying, or if you are a member of a church, what you are saying is that you are determining to be yoked to Christ. Guys, being in Christ or being a member of a church means there are things you cannot do. I was asked this morning about my boundaries in marriage or in courtship. Listen, if you are properly yoked to Christ, if you are well yoked, nobody needs to tell you that there is no sex before marriage. Nobody needs to tell you. Unfortunately, today we need to preach it. And it's not a problem, but you must know. Because we must not lose these truths. You must accept the government of Christ. So there are certain things we expect from a believer. Oh, I was talking to a young lady the other day. She told me, Pastor, you don't understand. Almost every young man who says he's in courtship wants to sleep with you before marriage. Even in church, he says, sir, you don't know what you are. Sir, don't worry. You're stuck. Those days are over. What is happening now? Every young man is asking for sex. It's either the pastors are not mirroring Christ well, or we have left what is called our first love. Why will one chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000? It's because their Lord has left them. As long as we remain in alignment, there are certain things that should not happen to the church. But these days, many things happen and we take it as normal. It's not normal. When Israel go out to battle and they are beating blue black, they don't just assume it's incidental. They go back to cry, what is happening? Ladies and gentlemen, we must come back to alignments. We must come back to governments. We are not a people without a guide. We are not a people without a head. As Christians, we have something yoking us. Just in case you've not been told, we have a yoke on our necks. Every child of God is yoked. Every child of God is yoked. It's not every business we can do. No. We need offerings, but it's not every offering we'll accept. Because we are yoked to Christ. Number two implication of this identity is that the church must constantly inquire from him. The church must constantly inquire from him. Jeremiah 10:23. I think this message is born out of what I've listened to in the last two Wednesdays. The subject of alignment. Oh my God. Every child of God must understand this. We are under a supreme leader called Jesus. The church must constantly inquire from him. Why? Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. It is not in the man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. That is why the church cannot get creative. The church must always constantly inquire from him. You want to do a course in university, you must inquire from him. You want to get married, you must inquire from him. You can't be too smart. Your mind is too poor to guide your life. That is why we see all kinds of things. Why? Men decide to run on their own, and you can't go too far that way. We must inquire from him. Number three implications of this identity is that the church is not responsible for her provisions and welfare. The church is not responsible for her provisions and welfare. Psalm 34 verse 10. Psalm 34 verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The economy is bad. It's not for men like you and I. If you are properly aligned to Christ, he will take care of us. I'm telling you, I have seen him do this and do it all over again. He will take care of us. Many of us love to hear this one, but we don't want to hear of alignment. He will only take responsible. He will only be responsible for that one who is a faithful wife. My wife will not do what she likes and now come back and say, after all, you're my husband. No. No. It is by implication. It's implied that if I'm going to take care of my wife, that she must be obedient and submissive. Once she's under authority, as obedient and submissive, she doesn't have to worry about the rest. So when food is eaten and put in the mouth, the body gets the nutrients naturally. When you hear the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What it means is that the Lord is my shepherd. I am under government. That is what it means. I am tamed. I am not like every other girl. I don't do what I like to do. There is a way to dress. I don't dress like every other person. Why? I am under authority. And once I remain under authority, my provisions are sorted. Number four implications of this identity in Christ is that Christ is responsible for her defense. Christ is responsible for my defense. Psalm 34 verse 7. Psalm 34 verse 7. Everybody, can you look at it? Want to go? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? He does not encamp round about every random person in church. No, sir. He encamp round about them that fear him. Men who have accepted the government of the Christ. And their job is to deliver them. You will never hear that that's triplet now happened. Bah, 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 and I was involved. It's not possible. No. He didn't tell me I would die that way. No, life happens to everybody. No, sir. I came to let you know. No, sir, it's not to everybody. Life doesn't just happen to everybody. No. No, sir. There are men in this world that bullets don't touch. This thing I'm telling you should not be a very big deal. But we need to come back to basics. There are men whom they cannot kidnap and kill. No, sir. In my other life, a young man gave a testimony in church where kidnappers carried him around Ajah and took him somewhere. When they got there, the Baba began to shout, "Who brought this one here? Who brought this one here?" See, it should not be a miracle. It should be a normal thing for every child of God. At Elena here, I was told, they packed almost how many young girls in secondary school. When they took them there, they were checking them. The Baba was saying, "All these ones have been used now. No, they are useless. They have been used. You know why? No value, no virtue again. They've been used." For a child of God, it should not be a miracle. Jesus said, "I lay my life down and I take it up again." Which means this death is not compulsion. It's not by compulsion. As in, nobody's forcing me to die. I lay it willingly. He was going to school. Kidnappers now took him, moved him to one place. Ah! When they got there, they now began to cut his parts. Not for members of the church. Not, sir. No, no, 1,000 times no. There are things that should never happen. If we are connected to the vine, it should never happen. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth. What does it mean to encamp? They relax there. That is where they stay. They are around the righteous. They are around the righteous. Those that fear him. Please, the essence of this is that you are not just here and yet you don't know the head of the church. It will be a waste of your time. I want to be sure that as we intercede for our members, that they are well fixed to the vine. I pray for every member of Noah's Ark every waking day. Every waking day. We cry to heaven every waking day. But it's important that you are fixed to the vine. Finally for today, number 5 implication of the identity of the church is that Christ gives the church her purpose part-time. Christ gives us our purpose part-time. We are not to get creative. We must wait for his supreme guide. My wife was talking about peace. You want to get married? The young man has proposed. Listen, you must wait for your supreme guide to give his nod. We have to teach this again. Young men, you don't just see any sister and propose to her. Your supreme guide must give you a nod in your spirit. They propose to you, your supreme guide must nod you. You don't just accept. No, sir. This journey is so far that you want to use your mind. Your mind is too poor to guide your life. That is the reason why he put his spirit in our hearts. What is the work of that spirit? It bears witness with us. We see many young boys using young ladies for all kinds of rituals. How can a child of God be used for rituals? Your boyfriend used it for ritual. What does that tell you? People are living alignment. When you wait for your supreme guide to give you a nod, you can't be used for rituals. There are things we should not be talking about if we are well positioned. So this morning, this is my opportunity to ask you, are you connected to the vine? Could it be that you were connected before you got into school? But a lot happened in school. Somehow you lost your way. You used to be an intercessor back at home. They knew you. You were on fire for Jesus. Suddenly you found your way into labs and lost your way. all eyes closed. My job this morning is to reconcile you to the Maker. We must mirror Jesus. If we do anything here and we don't mirror Christ, we have wasted your time. All eyes closed. If you are in service today and you are saying, Pastor, everything you've said looks like you're talking to me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be connected to the vine. I want Jesus to come into my life afresh. You are the one I'm talking to this morning. Raise your hands, your right hand up. All eyes closed. You are a worker. Yes. Your name is written in the church register. Yes. But yet, the head of the church, Christ, doesn't know you. You know you are no longer in alignment. It's true you are the hand, but yet you have. Jesus, give me my life. You are too boring. They told you that churchmen are boring. Who told you? There is so much fun in Christ. But unfortunately, Satan will want to make you feel like nothing. Oh, nothing is happening here. Who told you nothing is happening? Our eyes closed. If you are in service today and that is you, I want to pray with you. Please, I want to pray with you. My heart burns for you. You are the one I want to pray with. You are in service. You've given your life to Christ before, but somehow you fell out. Somehow you left Jesus. But you are here. Raise your hands. Let me pray for you. All eyes closed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If there is none, I want to pray for you. I want you to cry to the Lord and say, Father, please come into my heart afresh. Bring me back into alignment. Bring me back into alignment. Cause me to hear the songs again. The songs of songs. The song of songs. Every morning when you woke up those days, you heard those songs. You know what I'm talking about. These songs, nobody plays it, but inside of your heart, this joy radiates. Oh, can you talk to Jesus? Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Bring me back. Back to the body. Bring me back to the body. I am in the church, but I'm not part of the church anymore. Bring me back to the body. Bring me back to the body. Bring me back to the body. Bring me back to my source. Our pastor in the morning talked about the source. Everything functions within its source. And within its atmosphere, bring me back to that place where I'll find peace again, where I'll find love again. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for bringing and calling our attention back to the matter of the church. Thank you for bringing it into my consciousness again. That we are not independent beings. We are supposed to be dependent on you. Because it is you that said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Father, I pray for everyone here who has lost their time, who has lost your presence. You will restore them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there is anyone here who is sick in their bodies, who are a part of this body but sick in their bodies, you said by your stripes we are healed. Place your hand on that place anywhere you are sick in your body, please. Father, because every time we gather, angels are here with us. The blood of Jesus is here with us to cleanse and do mighty things. Everyone sick in their bodies, receive your healings in the name of Jesus. We decree, oh God, everyone expecting a miracle this week, an urgent miracle for this week, I decree that as they step out of this place, those phone calls, those emails, those messages they need to get that will bring joy to our hearts, receive them in the name of Jesus. And I decree that everything that has brought confusion into your hearts are wiped away and you have clarity. I said you have clarity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.